right. Welcome back to the Colorado Fire Podcast. My name is Chris Brunette. I'm Chief of Fire and Life Safety here with Colorado Division of Fire Prevention and Control. And today I am joined by Britton Cottrell, who is with TNT Fireworks, and also Aaron Calkins, who's with Old Glory Fireworks. Thank you both for being here.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much.
So as we know, we're getting into fireworks season here in Colorado, and so it's a pleasure to have you both here talking with us. I just want to jump right into it and first start off by having you introduce yourselves and give our listeners a little bit about your background, especially in regards to fireworks industry.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Aaron Calkins of Old Glory Fireworks. Been doing this 32 years here in Colorado, only in the state of Colorado, good or bad. And so in those 30-some years, it's been a roller coaster ride. You know, to this point, we have seen some struggles back and forth, and we're finally at the point where we're very happy to be working alongside you to probably move forward in educating the public on this. So we're very happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. My name is Britton, as you mentioned. I'm with TNT Fireworks. I started in the industry about 20 years ago. As a local fundraiser for my church, selling fireworks. That then turned into a part-time job in the summer, making a little extra money, and then on to being a manager for TNT. And now I serve as a regional manager, have been full-time with them for about 8 years, and working in 5 different states now.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's quite the journey. So can you guys kind of share a little bit about what it takes to become a retailer or wholesaler here in Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll start. We have several locations. I think the first step, right, is applying for a retail license through your agency. I think we go online and get all that information, and that's step number one for us, making sure that we meet those requirements and are able to be a retailer within the state. That's even before we look at going into specific cities or counties.
Yeah, and so each of your tents or locations has to have an individual license.
Correct, yeah. We first have to have an individual license through the state of Colorado.
Yeah.
Through Colorado Department of Fire Prevention and Control issues those to us.
Yeah. And Aaron, you're a wholesaler here in Colorado, correct?
That's correct.
So is there anything different about being the wholesaler than having those retail outlets?
Well, as Britton had mentioned, there are licenses that we're applying for through yourself, through the Division of Fire. So yes, we do have a wholesale license as well as the retail license. And the retail license is applied for individually depending on how many locations you have. So as Britton had mentioned, you know, that's first step. And then, of course, depending on where you're at is whether you're going to be also applying with the city, the county, fire department, and their requirements. And so, you know, over the years, we've said there's quite a few hoops to go through. But on the flip side, we're very heavily regulated. And so we've learned over the years that, you know, it's better to educate even the municipalities and counties to try to have some kind of a uniform permit application.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. And so that kind of leads into my next question. So can you tell us about your experience over the years working with the state and specifically DFPC in this industry?
Yeah. You know, once again, I've been around for quite a few years. So I would say many, many years ago in Colorado, it was nobody had any clue what was considered legal, illegal. Everything was interpreted as illegal. We had to fight the battle to say these items actually are allowed in the state. You know, we would fight the battle of county and city lines on where they actually were and were not. We'd have to answer thousands and thousands of phone calls and people in person asking us where they can and cannot light these. As it progressed over the years, although we still see some stumbling blocks with legislators and some of the municipalities on not really understanding what's legal and illegal, we've seen pretty drastic improvement on that over the years. So yeah, I think things have moved forward in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a solid point there that, you know, in Colorado, we do have permissible fireworks. And when people throughout Colorado see these stands, see the wholesale outlets, they should know that the fireworks being sold there are permissible fireworks being sold. And so I know that sometimes people get upset at the retail outlets for some of the big fireworks that are going off, but it is not your retail outlets that are selling those fireworks. So, you know, if there's one message I can get out there, it is that, you know, the people who are selling fireworks legally in Colorado are selling the things that we permit, and don't hold them accountable for the big fireworks you see. That's people going outside our state lines and getting fireworks from somebody else and then bringing them back. So anyhow.
Yeah, I appreciate that comment there, because that is a big thing. We're heavily regulated, and there's technicalities as to what's allowed and what's not. But I think the general rule of thumb, anything that's flying through the air is already illegal. And yeah, we don't sell those things here in Colorado.
Yeah. So don't take it out on our retailers, because they're doing things right and they're following the rules. So that's why I kind of wanted to have you both here today, is because I think there's some misinformation out there. And the more we can spread the right information, I think the better off everybody's going to be in Colorado. So, so Britton, for you specifically, because you work in five different states, I think you said, can you describe to our listeners the major differences you experience from state to state? And how do you handle trying to comply with all these different rules as you cross state boundaries?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge. You have to keep track of, you know, what every state is looking for. But let me just say at the start that the major difference with Colorado and every state that I personally work in is this relationship right here that exists.
Yeah.
This is very unique. It's very good to have direct lines of communication to understand regulation, you know, how you want to enforce. And so that provides us with a great segue into getting our business open in Colorado. We don't have that in every state. You know, some states have not yet got to that point where they're partnering with the industry on safety messaging, but we're hopeful one day we'll get there. It can be a challenge, much like it was a challenge in the early years here in Colorado. We've made a lot of progress. So thank you for that.
No, it's our pleasure. And honestly, I think we're making great strides through this partnership. And that was a great segue into my next question, because I did want to talk about that, you know, it wasn't till a couple of years ago that we had this relationship. And so I think we were in line with a lot of the other states you work with, but now we're recognizing that there's a lot of benefit to partnering with industry. And so maybe you can talk about how that partnership developed, and then how it's unique in the U.S., and then tell us a little bit about how that partnership came about, because you both were kind of instrumental in that happening. So.
Yeah, I'll just start by saying I think we have, you know, partnered in this messaging of the safe use of consumer fireworks, and that's something we all agree upon. And I'm not sure exactly how it started. I know that during the time of running our firework locations, we would have conversations about what's legal and what do the inspectors want to see, and, you know, how can we do different things. And I think it just sparked out of a phone conversation one day. Maybe we should all just meet after the season and have a conversation. And I think we met together, Aaron and you and I, and maybe a few others, and we began just a general conversation together in the same room. And I think that's how it started, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I'd agree. It's I remember a few years back, we would not have any conversations prior to maybe January. The new session would start. We'd be down at the Capitol, and there would be some miscommunication on fireworks in general and a proposed ban or something similar. And we would do everything we possibly could to educate those, you know, those legislators on what actually is legal and illegal, and why this state you know, has allowed the safe and sane, or the Colorado legal products. And no matter what we did to explain and talk and show, and we would end up going to one of those meetings and having someone tell a long story about a bottle rocket in their backyard, and that's the reason they won't even listen to us, and they want nothing to do with fireworks. So So that's where we would go out in the hallway and we would talk and say, you know, we really need to get together and discuss because they just simply do not understand. And here we are today.
Yeah. Well, and I recall one of the major benefits of us starting that conversation for me was the recognition that we all had the same goal in mind. I mean, that we wanted to have a safe 4th of July. We wanted people to safely use fireworks and that, you know, we had these permissible fireworks in Colorado, but people didn't understand the difference between what was permissible and what was illegal. And so through those conversations, it really helped me to recognize that by partnering together, we can benefit the entire state. And so along those lines, do you both have other ideas of things you think we can be doing to reap those benefits of this relationship and even further?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's always things that we, you know, dream about and we can do. And I'm sure you're going to move on to talking about our current campaign, but I think that, you know, the Bucket Brigade is an example of us moving in that direction of continuing to promote safety and education. I think that's what we all care about the most. I can speak for both Aaron and I. We live in Colorado. We care about this state. Yeah. Safety is always going to be a number one conversation starter for us. And I know you as well, being in the fire industry. Yeah. So I think the future is bright with a lot of possibilities on how we can continue to educate.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Aaron, anything to add? Or
yeah, I would say very similar, but you know, we still, as I had mentioned before, have customers coming on a daily basis with our Colorado Legal fireworks in our retail store and saying, can we use these in our backyard? And of course, there still are some dividing lines on where those Colorado Legal items actually are legal light because the municipality may have further banned those items. So in a perfect world in the future here, we would hope that we could get everyone on board to allow these Colorado Legal fireworks so that it would be very easy to say, look, you know, we work with the state. These are the items you should be using. You're okay to buy these in any neighborhood you live in the, you know, within the state lines. And so this is just one step with this Bucket Brigade to head in that direction.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get into the Bucket Brigade in just a minute. But I do want to kind of take a step back and kind of inform the listeners of our philosophy here at DFPC and why we've embarked on this education campaign. So, in community risk reduction, there's this idea of the five E's. There are five interventions that we can approach any risk with. And of course, fireworks in Colorado are a risk, although I think that the risk is pretty low when we're talking about permissible fireworks. There's a reason why we've permitted these type of fireworks here in Colorado, but still there's a risk that exists. And so we can approach that in five different ways. And so the first is enforcement, and that's the first one we think about. But the fact of the matter is that Our licensed retailers and wholesalers in Colorado want to do the right thing. They're doing the right thing. And so there's very little enforcement that needs to take place. And so then we're left with enforcement on the individuals, on the community members. Well, you know, the last thing we want to do is be out on 4th of July busting people for using non-permissible fireworks and being the big party poopers. And so there's other approaches that I think are more effective. And so, of course, another of the five E's is emergency response. We, of course, don't want to get to that point. So we want to try and engage the other four E's before we get to an emergency response. But that leaves us with economic incentive, which there's fees and fines that can go along with that. But again, that kind of ties back to the enforcement. A lot of the times you'll get compliance, but it's reluctant compliance and it's short term. And so although I think there's place for enforcement and economic incentive in this case in particular, I think that kind of gets short term compliance. So that leaves us with engineering engineering we'll get back to here, because I think that goes a little bit into the bucket brigade and what we're going to be talking about. But the last one, and I think the most effective for this, is education. And so for the past 3 years, we've embarked on that journey of trying to educate not only the public, but our decision makers and also our enforcement agencies here in Colorado to better understand what's permissible in Colorado and how can we have a safer and still a fun 4th of July. So with that, I do want to get into our current campaign. So over the past couple of years, we have had this relationship where we've been developing together these educational campaigns. And I think this year in particular, we've developed a rather unique education campaign. And I'd like you guys to tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think in short, we're calling it the Fireworks Bucket Brigade. We thought of this idea of how do we get consumers to practice safe use and handling of fireworks, particularly after they've used their fireworks, right? That's generally when we hear about dumpster fires and things like that. And so we thought of this idea of handing out buckets at locations or promoting people, you know, encouraging them to have buckets at their site. And we presented that idea, you know, to you as a department, to the industry. Could we do something surrounding, you know, this bucket idea? And I believe that it was one of the people out of your office that said, you know, that's how really fire departments began, was it was called a brigade, a bucket brigade. And so we coined that, you know, phrase, Fireworks Bucket Brigade. And we're trying to rally people around this idea of collecting buckets and using buckets at their site when they're using permissible fireworks. Make sure you get them wet, drown them, soak them in water before you dispose of them. That is a huge safety point that I think can really help all of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so to elaborate a little further on that, yeah, it was Chuck Altwater in our office who brought that up. So for our listeners who don't know, back before we had fire engines that could actually carry and pump water, the only way to get water to a site was we'd have all kinds of buckets, and you'd get a line of people and you'd fill a bucket and you'd hand it down the line and you dump that bucket on the fire, and you just keep doing that until you had enough water on the fire to put it out. And so this just tied in perfectly with the spirit of the fire service, that we used to have these bucket brigades, and now we would love people, anytime you're using fireworks, to have a bucket nearby. And we've got stickers for you to put on the buckets to remind you what you need to do to fully extinguish the articles that you've used. But really, it's just making sure that the fire is truly out before you dispose of these articles. And although we only want you using permissible fireworks in Colorado, for those of you who feel the urge to use illegal fireworks, please still have a bucket nearby. We can't stress it enough that we need to make sure that these are fully extinguished before we dispose of them. So, Aaron, did you have anything to add to it?
No, I would actually just finish what you had already started, which is, you know, that's been part of the obstacle is what's legal, what's illegal, as we've talked about. And this is, you know, one of the steps that we've always mentioned. If a person is in their cul-de-sac, out in their driveway, you know, even in a backyard, and using Colorado legal fireworks, it's very easy to get that item and put it in a bucket or have a hose available and know that you've extinguished that item and taken care of it. If it's an aerial that flew four houses away and into their tree, there's really no way that you're going to be able to extinguish that item. So we feel like this is also an educational aspect of saying this is how you're going to take care of those products when you're done using them.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. The other unique thing about this campaign is that this year we have a PR firm involved. And can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came about?
Yeah, so TNT Fireworks, Old Glory Fireworks, Davy Jones Fireworks, the Consumer Fireworks Safety Association, as well as your department, you know, have all joined together to educate the public about this campaign, educate them about safety. But we've also been working with Novitas Communications. They've partnered with us to really help get that word out, to encourage local fire agencies to engage this idea with their constituents on fireworks safety. It gives them something to promote at the local level as well. And so Novitas is working with us to try to get that messaging out to the public.
Yeah. And so speaking of getting the messaging out, how can people join the Fireworks Bucket Brigade?
Yeah, stay tuned to that. We're going to have some social media posts. You're going to see some PR things going through. I think directly they could go right to our safety campaign website that you've already set up, and we can have some information there. But really, you don't have to be an official member. Yeah. Let me just say that really all it takes is a bucket. And you know, we're happy to get you some stickers, some fancy stickers to put on buckets that, again, give those directions on how to, you know, be safe with your fireworks. So if you'd like some stickers, you can certainly reach out to us. We'll bring them to your fire department. We'll bring them to your city, and we'll help with that cause. But yeah, no official registration. Just join the brigade. Join the cause of getting buckets in the hands of people that are using fireworks. And we probably all have a bucket at home already, you know. Wouldn't it be great just to put a sticker on it when we're getting ready to celebrate Independence Day, just to remind us to be safe.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Just get your bucket today, get it out there, get it ready for the 4th of July. Thank you for that, Britton. Great. Well, I don't want to forget some of what we've done in the past too, because I think we've done some good campaigns in the past. And one in particular is leaving the big shows to the pros. That's what we've pressed for the past couple of years here. So can you guys tell us a little bit about that initiative, and is it still relevant this year?
I'll go. Yeah, I think, please do leave the big shows to the pros. That is not only the legal thing to do, I think it's the appropriate safe thing to do. Legal or permissible fireworks, they can be a lot of fun when used properly. And so the other thing to consider is your neighbors, the people that are around you. Be considerate of those people. And often those illegal fireworks are the ones that cause the most problems, not only potentially with safety, but also with noise. And we work with veterans groups and pet advocate groups that, you know, they struggle during this time as well. And so keeping that in mind, you know, if you go to the big show and you leave it to the pro, people can plan around that. Others cannot plan around, you know, when you decide to go out and light illegal fireworks right in the middle of your street. And so I think it's a considerate thing to do for your neighbor. And so the messaging is still very much appropriate for today.
Yeah. No, thank you. Aaron, anything to add there?
Yeah, obviously, as I said, I remember back 30 years ago when laws were similar in Colorado, maybe not exactly the same, but similar. And when we had our Colorado legal section that we sold in our stand or our retail location, there was about 6 items. So a customer would come in and the variety to choose from was not much. And now, over all the years of not only Colorado, but numerous states allowing similar items and a similar, as Colorado legal, low to the ground, yet, you know, some fountains and novelties and sparklers and such, that the manufacturers have now come out with some products that are absolutely phenomenal if they're lit, you know, in your front yard or in your driveway or cul-de-sac. So now, obviously, we would agree and say, hey, if you want to go see the gargantuan aerials, go to the big show. But when you want to celebrate a little bit more at your home, we've got some great products to offer now.
I think that's well said. Yeah, I think that you can have the best of both worlds. And one thing that DFPC does is every year we put the location of all the big shows on our website. So you can go to our website, you can see where those big shows are occurring, when they're occurring, how to get into them. And so you can go see the big shows where, you know, there's been a lot of thought put into it. They are put on by pros. So all those shows are put on by people who are licensed in Colorado to do it. They are purchasing fireworks under our law to be able to do it. And so you can go and through the safety of being just a spectator, you can see some pretty spectacular shows, see them that way, but then you can go home and use these permissible fireworks and extend your fun that way. So I do think it's the best of both worlds, and just keep in mind that we do have that on our website, so look for that. Well, we're about to wrap up here, guys. The last question I have for both of you is, was there something that you were hoping we would talk about that we hadn't? And is there any other thoughts or words of wisdom that you can share in relation to purchasing safe, the purchase and safe use of fireworks in Colorado?
No, I think this was fantastic. We were discussing before we even started this morning on this year's weather conditions being rather wet for Colorado and everything very green out there, and of course we just want to get the point across that just because it is green this year, there are years where it's a little drier in Colorado, and so we're trying to get the message across that the items that are legal in Colorado are really intended for our climate and our conditions here in Colorado, dry or wet, and to educate on what they are and where you can use them.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. I think I would just simply add to it a couple of safety points. Always be sober when using fireworks. That's a good thing to think about. And always think about your proper disposal of fireworks. And Aaron's right. We have a lot of great products that are available to the consumer. And so I would just encourage people, if you're looking at using fireworks, shop local. Shop at your, Colorado state approved firework vendor stand and come see us. And then, use the fireworks properly as intended. Follow the directions on the package. And I think we can all have a fun and safe Independence Day, and we can keep our state safe in the process.
Thank you so much, both of you, for being here. It's always a pleasure to get with you and talk with you. And I think there's just going to be bigger and better things that we do every year. So just a reminder to our listeners, get your buckets out for 4th of July, join the Fireworks Bucket Brigade, and have a fun and safe 4th of July.